Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media. Design with an edge.
Everybody, welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live. Big shout out to the great sponsors that make this show happen every week. Takedown Grappleware, number one. Hit them up, follow them, like them, love them. They're what you need. Also, Jax Media at jaxmedia.ca. From fighter bios, walkout shirts, event posters, website design, they do it all. Design with an edge. And then, of course, the one and only MMAMadhouse.com. You know their logo for over 7 years now. Support local MMA. Check them out. Love them. Like them. They're good to us. They'll be good to you. And let's kick off this show and bring on the host, the man himself, the intercontinental champ of SoCal MMA Talk Radio, Mr. Ray Lopez.
What's up, Skippy? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Chilling in the studio. Been watching the football game. You know, it's a Sunday. Did some yard work. You know, that kind of jazz.
Nice, nice. Out here in SoCal, you know, excuse me. The show, Sunday Night Fights Live, is about SoCal MMA. Out here in SoCal, we're going through this heat wave. It is horrible. You know, right now I'm sitting outside doing the show. I look over to my right, and the devil's sitting right there next to me. That's how hot it is.
We were having an interesting conversation without saying names or anything right before the show came on. You started to make an issue about promotional pay and with a certain promotion. And my curiosity for you is, as a manager, if the pay is not what you would think it, you know, it should be for a specific fight, would you then consider who the opponent is as well as the pay, or would you just say, hey, look, I don't care who the opponent is. That pay is a joke.
Well, you know, let's get real here. There's not much. You're not going to get rich in MMA unless you're fighting for a Zuffa. Even the payday you're going to get rich off of, it's the sponsorship money that you're going to make a majority of your money on. Okay? So when I book fights for my fighters, you know, let's throw Bama out there. You know, we've been fighting for Bama for a while already. You know, the pay is for a regional show, it's pretty good. I mean, for a local show, it's pretty good. I mean, it's not outrageous. It's not going to pay the bills. But one thing that Brett Roberts does is he helps brand the fighter. You know, he's doing interviews. He's putting on YouTube. He promotes the fighter. So, you know, there's a trade-off. You know, yeah, we're not getting the big bucks, but we're getting the exposure. And the interviews, that's where people get to know who the fighters are. So he's doing all these interviews, and people are watching him, and they're getting to know who the fighters are, and you know, and they're getting, you know, getting endeared to the fighter, to the fans. So the fans are like, hey, you know, after that interview, I really like that guy. You know what? Let me go buy the tickets to watch him fight. So that helps a lot. And then, you know, let's talk about, you know, King of the Cage too. That's what we're talking about. You know, Mike Lowe over there, and Terry, and Al Joffling. They put on a great show production-wise. You know, are they offering Zuffa kind of money, even though they're one of the oldest promotions? No, they're not offering Zuffa kind of money. But what they do offer is they promote the fighter. When you fight for King of the Cage, you're fighting on national TV. So that's going to let a bigger promotion, like a Bellator or the UFC, see you and see that you're not cracking under the pressure. You know, this guy's fought on the big stage. He can handle it. You know, he's not going to be, you know, 15-0 on a local show come to our show and get his ass whooped. He knows
so
how it is.
So for you, the marketing dollar of the promotion is something that you look at as well when it, as part of the pay.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because, you know, we already know we're not going to get rich doing local and regional shows. You know, you can't make a living at it. But it's setting the tone for you to get to the bigger shows. You're building a fan base. You're getting the exposure than if you're just doing shows at the Y or at, you know, at your local Veterans of Foreign War, you know, or at the fair. You're getting a lot more exposure being on TV, doing interviews, being on YouTube. And the exposure in this business means a lot.
Oh, dude, that's very true. I mean, we were watching the Tanis Cup over in Russia, and there was a young ladies fight that I shared, and that thing's got like, I don't know, 7,000-8,000 views already in 24 hours. I mean, you can't buy that kind of exposure because everybody's like, dude, check out these two girls fighting. Whether the girl won or lost, it doesn't matter. Everybody's talking about both of them and the promotion.
Exactly. And that's going to catch the eye of a bigger promotion. You know, if you're fighting, you know, locally and you're knocking bums out, you know, Joe Silva's not going to care. But you're fighting, you know, Standing King of the Cage, it's broadcast on MAV TV. You know, you're on national TV, and it's a bigger stage. You get more exposure to other promoters, and that's something that Zuffa's going to want to look at. Like, this kid, he's been on a big show. He can handle himself well. You know, and
yeah.
Also, too, you know, you look at when you do the interview after the fight, a promoter is looking at that to see how you carry yourself and how you act. You know, you might be this badass fighter knocking fools out in the first round, but they interview you and you're not articulate or your every other word is the F-bomb, they're not going to want to sign you.
I agree. Speaking of crazy individuals who are kind of riled up in the media, but did you watch any of World Series of Fighting this weekend?
No, unfortunately, I took the weekend off of MMA. It was all about high school football this weekend and just chilling and relaxing with the family, which I very rarely get to do. And during the fall, my life is consumed by high school football and getting ready for this Bama fight.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll start with my up, I guess, what I felt was, you know, a good part of this card, and that was Frankie Perez, man, a kid that we've been hard on for years, man. I mean, we've pumped his product, his fights, and going into the Chris Wade fight that he had at Ring of Combat for the title, he was 17-0 between amateur and pro. He went in there, beautiful fight, split decision loss, could have honestly gone either way. I wasn't upset about it. He came in here against a huge up-and-comer that they've been touting that World Series of Fighting, and he beat the brakes off this kid, top to bottom, standing up, grappling, every possible way. That was just a beautiful, beautiful fight to watch. I was bummed to see Keon Caldwell get knocked out by Ozzy, but it was a good fight, you know, up to that point, but he got caught. And Cody Bollinger, wow, he just did not look like he should have been. First of all, it wasn't a title fight because he came in way overweight. But, he got smoked by Marlon. It wasn't even close, yeah. I don't know who they could put Marlon against now.
Marlon's at, what weight is that? Is that 135?
Yeah, it should be 135. I'm retarded.
I got a couple of 135ers.
Yeah, I was just talking about inside the World Series of Fighting. You know, that's signed right now. I knew you have guys, but you know, his hands are ridiculous. I mean, you got to call him top 10, top 15 at 135. You have to. I mean, he blew through Tyson Nam. He kind of, you know, had a an interesting fight with Brandon Hempelman, but still really controlled that fight and came out with the decision. Comes in there against Carson Beebe, just destroys him in 30 seconds. Josh Riddinghouse. This guy took more punishment than any man I've ever seen. He's still not able to fight. I mean, and that was in March, you know. He took like 600 leg kicks. It was insane. And then Cody, I mean, he beat Miguel Torres in a split decision. Was probably his toughest fight to date, I think, you know, since he's stepped up from the XFC. But all the way around, I don't know who's going to take him on.
But you know what? You know, 135, that's probably the most stacked weight division right now. You know, I mean, there's so many guys not signed to a major organization that I think could step in and give him a run for his money. You know, you got guys like Tarion Ware. You got guys like Jared Papazian and John Robles. You know, any of these guys can step in and give him a fight.
Well, that's the thing is they've got to sign some new guys because, I mean, I just read off half their roster and he's already beat them. And the ones he hasn't beat aren't even up to them. I mean, look, we're talking Miguel, Tyson, Brandon, Carson, Josh, Cody. What's that, six or seven, whatever, one, three, six. That's six of the top ten right there.
Well, you know, I know John Robles, he signed with World Series of Fighting. They need to throw him up in that mix.
Did he fight on the last card, huh?
No, he fought a year ago against Jared Papazian. He ended up he dropped the decision to Jared. It was a close fight. They were very good friends and ex-training partners. So it was a fun fight to watch. But I think if there was a little animosity between them, it would have been a different fight. There was just a lot of respect between the two of them, and it was evident in the way they were fighting. I mean, and don't get me wrong, nobody was taking it easy on the other guy because, you know, they wanted the bragging rights.
And John's 7-3, so that's a respectable record. Isn't he 7-3?
I believe
so. Yeah, I think he's 7-3, if I remember right. That's what he said on the show. But, you know, he lost to Jared, but didn't he lose? Didn't he say he had lost a fight down there in California? In what, like May, June?
Yeah, I think Jared was his first loss. They were both going in there with some good records. I'm going to look him up right now. You know, him being one of
Jared
the
was his second loss.
Was he?
Caleb Volton at a California regional event was his first loss. But he kind of, dude, that's right, because he was supposed to fight Libiano in June for the title at West Coast Fighting Championships.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so he's been out. So he hasn't fought since what? April, May?
Something like that.
Yeah, so he'd have to get a couple wins inside World Series of Fighting. I say if he could beat like a Brandon and a Josh Riddinghouse or a Tyson and a job. Well, Tyson lost a war at West Coast Fighting Championships last night to Libiano. So, you know, he's out of the picture really as a mix of a fighter. Yeah, I don't know.
But you look at John's wins, too. He's got six KOs and one decision.
Yeah, but you got to agree, it's hard to convince the public, first of all, of a fight like that, but second of all, at World Series level, to bring a guy on a two-fight loss to take on a title.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's got to get a couple more wins. You know, for something like that, you know, he's got to get at least three or four more wins. And, I mean, he's definitely got the management to get him the big fights. And he's definitely got the team and the coaching to get him over that hump.
Did you notice who his first four fights were with?
Yeah, I see that. Well, you know, back in the day, you know, that was probably one of the only promotions out here in this area that was, you know, putting on shows with decent names. And, you know, their business practices haven't changed, but people know if you wanted to fight, you had to go there.
Well, we got to figure out I get, you know, Tyrion can pull out his title fight at Bama, you know, in a, like he has impressively, then, you know, I think there's no reason why you couldn't call him up to that league and give him a break-in fight, you know, and see where he's at. But right now, fuck. Oops, sorry. My bad, folks. oops, that slipped out. I don't know who you. I don't know who you could inside the World Series of Fighting that you could put.
Well, you know, like I said, the 35-pound weight class, it's a stacked weight class. But the problem is all these different promotions having these fighters signed exclusively to them. I think until we get to MMA progresses to like boxing, where you have governing bodies rather than, you know, a promotion controlling the fighters and their titles, then we're not going to see who the best fighter in that weight division is. Because then you've got the World Series of Fighting champion, you got the UFC champion, you got the Bellator champion, and they will never meet each other.
See, that's why I'm, and I know right now a lot of people are going to be like, boo, and a lot of people won't understand the concept or the reasoning, but fighters should use their talent to leverage against every promotion to get the best payday. Look, if MFC, UFC, Bellator, World Series of Fighting, Titan, RFA, 1FC want to fight over Tyrion for a one-fight deal, and that's how you make money in this sport. You sign one-fight deals, you get paid, you let these guys, let World Series of Fighting come and offer Tyrion 3-3, and then have 1FC say, well, I'll give him 4-4. You know, UFC says, well, I'll give him 7-7. You know, that's the thing is, these guys need to figure out a way, and I mean, the top guys have to start this. But if you win and you're successful and you have a fan base, you should leverage yourself in one-fight contracts. That's my personal opinion. You should get paid for the best because let's say you come in and you're Marlon, you just beat Cody. You just beat the brakes off of Cody. Now Bellator can sign you, or UFC, or 1FC, to have you face somebody they think is the best, whether it's the title holder or not. You're getting the best payday, and I think, truthfully, fans would get the best fights because fighters right now who play it safe at the big three or four shows, who go out there and win on points and win safely, would have to earn a solid paycheck playing it safely. Versus a guy who goes out there, is exciting, who wins, who's a dominating finisher, because he's going to get paid a lot because everybody's going to want him on their show.
You know, and here's what I'm talking about with governing bodies and rather than a single promotion. Is, you know, like you said, you know, they're going to compete, but also to look at the fight this weekend. Mayweather, $32 million for a fight. You will never see an MMA fighter make that kind of money until things change.
Oh, you'll never see an MMA fighter make that kind of money for one fight ever. Ever.
You know, I would love to be his manager and get my 10% of that.
Dude, think about this. Mayweather in 2012, in two fights, made more money than the complete UFC roster combined. That is undercard, main event, everything. The paydays they paid out was $47.8 million to fighters, okay? He made $92.7 million. He doubled almost what they did. Well, actually, he did.
And
no,
I guarantee you Zuffa's making the same kind of money as
Zuffa in 2012. At the end of 2012, the beginning of 2013 year, they claimed $1.5 billion under the Station Casino LLC license.
Yeah,
now, you can't tell me that it cost $700 million or $800 million or $900 million to run Zuffa. I don't believe it. I know it's horse. I hear people tell me it costs $1 billion a year to run that industry. No, it don't. They have sponsors who pay ridiculous amounts of money They also make ticket sales, T-shirts, DVD, Fight Pass, video games, signings, endorsement deals. They make a ton of money, okay? And if you for a second think that Dana White isn't getting, I'd say, $20 million plus a year to do what he does, you're crazy.
And I mean, the flip side of that is, too, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. You know, to keep things all, you know, fair, is okay, yeah, the fighters aren't going to be making boxing kind of money, but at the same token, you know, going in and fighting for 8-8, you know, on a lower card of a UFC card is a lot better than getting 5-5 at a local show.
I don't agree, but here's your problem with that thinking. You're on an undercard, you got 8-8. You're lucky, okay? You are. You got a good shot inside the UFC, and you made $16,000. Now take away the taxes, take away the management, take away the training cost, and boom, you're left with X amount. Okay, cool. But when do you fight again? Because I'll take the 5-5 regional and fight six times if I have to, you know? I mean, I'll stay active, and I'll keep making money. You know, maybe I don't get 8-8. Maybe I go to, and I'm not going to say any names, but I know somebody who just signed with Titan, and they're going to get 7-7 for their first fight. I know somebody who's fighting overseas in M1, and on his third fight, he's now getting, I think it's 9-6, okay? You can, and these guys are fighting 2 to 3 times, 4 times a year. That's the downside with the UFC. Unless you're a top 10 draw, or you're Sam Cecilia who takes every last-minute fight they throw your way, you're not going to fight that often.
That's true.
So I make 8-8, and I fight once every 9 months. That means I made $16,000 a year fighting. You can't live on that. That's you know, I mean, a minimum wage fighter, a minimum wage worker at McDonald's makes more than that. They make $20,000 a year.
That's very true.
So that's something that people got to – that's why I say one-fight contracts, and people got to realize that Zuffa is not always the almighty answer. Look, if you want to test yourself against the biggest, baddest boys on the block, there's a good chance that the top 6 to 10 guys in every weight class are under a Zuffa contract. Doesn't mean they all are. It doesn't mean the best fighters in the world aren't, because everybody out there who didn't know who Hector Lombard was until he signed with the UFC – you know, thought he was just a schmuck, some guy they signed. Everybody who knew who he was knew that he was a top 10 for the last 5 years of his career.
Yeah.
Okay, so when those people were fighting him at other promotions, they were fighting legitimate top talent. Just like Yushin Okami at World Series of Fighting, you know. There's, you know, you've got John Finch. I mean, you've got guys who are elite fighters in other organizations. But if you can't fight 3 to 4 times a year, barring injury, and make an average of 8-8 a fight, then you're not going to survive, and you're not going to get that fighting in a 4-fight deal with Zuffa over 3 years or 4 years.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, that is very true.
I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but look, I said it before. Deuce, he got $100,000 for his title defense. I mean, he's not in the UFC. You know, I know that the Wolf, Demarte Pena, he cleared $55,000 for his last fight. He didn't fight in the UFC, and he fought 6 times in 14 months.
Wow.
So would you rather fight 6 times in 14 months, averaging $30,000 to $50,000 a fight, or fight once a year in the UFC for 8-8? That's where you got to decide what your career choice is really going to be. Is this to be the best ever and walk the street holding that title in the most elite organization in the world? Or is this something you do that you love and you just want to get paid to do? Those are choices a fighter has to make.
Well, it's like when I tell a fighter that I manage, okay, I understand you want to make it to the UFC. That's the goal. That's the MLB. That's the NFL, this industry right now. So that's where you want to go. But my job as your manager is to make sure that you're paid and you're paid well. I'm not thinking short-term. I'm thinking as you as a career.
Long term. Yes.
Exactly.
And
I gotta make the decisions that are right for you and your family, not a decision that's right for us to be on TV making a little bit of money or going with a smaller promotion where we're going to have more fights to make more money in that same time period.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, do you go to Titan and take the four-fight deal for 9-9, you know, for the first two, and 12-12 for the last two, with the option automatically Azufa out is in your contract? To me, that's the smarter choice. You know,
yeah,
you go down there,
it
you know.
Is, but a lot of promotions will not give you a UFC out anymore. You know,
that's
there was
true.
One that, there was one that I was talking to, and they were interested in signing one of my fighters, and they wanted to do what they said was, okay, they wanted to fight for a title, okay, and we needed to sign a long-term deal. And I said, you know what, I'm fine with that, but we need a UFC out. And he says, okay, well, we won't give you a Bellator out. We will give you a UFC out after four fights.
Okay, well, I don't know what promotion, nor do I care, because it's not my business, but I'll tell you this much. Speaking of 135 titles, why don't you see if you can get Terry on into the Jesse Brock fight up at MFC?
That MFC is a promotion that I've always wanted to fight for.
Well, you know, I mean, hit up Mark or hit up Scott Zier, you know, or Dave Pavlich, any one of those three. Look, I tell you right now, their policy to pick fighters is super simple, man. They review you. They sit down, the three of them. If there's not three yeses, you're not fighting for them. It's that simple. If two guys say yes and one says no, you don't fight. So it's about talent. It's about record. It's about the way they sell themselves in social media and the way they treat their sponsors. You know, I've seen him say no to a division, you know, one NCAA champion who was 7-0 because the guy refused to use social media. You know, he's like, I don't do that and I won't do that. I don't need to do that. Okay, well, you're not going to fight for me. You know, that's, you know, so as a total package, he would get three yeses, I believe.
I mean, that's definitely an option for us, and like I said, I always wanted to fight with the MFC earlier in his career. You know, I was trying to get a hold of them, and they never responded to me. Now maybe with the record he has now, that they'll listen, you know, back when we were nobodies.
I'll give you Scott's personal email when we get off air, and send him a bio, you know, privately through his email, and he'll check it out. I'll even make sure I pass the name on.
All right, cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, and then, you know, you touched on that right now, that fighter not using social media. What is wrong with them? Part of this business, and I was speaking to one of my business partners about this weekend, a big part of this business is branding yourself. And that's using social media correctly. And having your walkout shirt with your own logo on it. You're making yourself a brand so you can sell yourself to promotions.
Yep.
You know, if you can't move tickets, no promotion is going to want to deal with you, no matter how good you are. And you do that by branding yourself.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think, you know, the more and more we get into this sport, you know, and it grows, the more and more social media, your behavior, your past, your present, all that plays into account onto your total package as a fighter. You know, it's sad we're seeing, you know, guys who are legitimately good fighters not getting a chance because when they were 20, they had a domestic violence charge, or when they were, you know, 23, the guy went to jail and joined a white pride group and got out, changed his life, found fighting. You know, we're not looking anymore at what's standing in front of us when it comes to a fighter. Now we got to know, what church you go to? Did you graduate high school? Did you run with a gang? Did you beat up a woman? Were you a drug addict? You know, these things matter now.
You know, let me tell you a quick story about that. We were at an amateur event, and, you know, there's this one fighter. You know, he's a white guy standing next to one of my fighters who's an African-American. And they're chopping it up. They're talking, you know, getting along really good. And then the white guy goes away, and he takes his shirt off, and he's got a tattoo with a swastika on his chest. Okay, well, you know what? He probably got that when he was a lot younger because this guy wasn't racist. Here he is kicking back, you know, chilling with some blacks and a bunch of Mexicans, and he was cool with us. You know, we're back in the locker room, you know, hey, you know what? You know, I don't have my bucket. Can I use your bucket? This dude was not racist. You know, he made a mistake when he was younger. And, you know, that's stuff where you got to give people a pass. You know, you might not have the money to get that tattoo covered up, Are you going to make him put his life on hold till he can?
See, that's a very good, you know, a point, because I know a lot of people out there would just cover it up. Well, it's not always easy to come up with $400 to go down to a local tattoo shop. Most people aren't blessed. Look, I've had a tattoo sponsor going on 15 years. I haven't paid for a tattoo in 15 years. I got close to $10,000 worth of work on me. I'm a rarity, an oddity, and not a normal example of what people spend and how people get tattoos. I'm lucky. I truly am. I'm blessed. I'm not going to lie. That's a true honor for somebody who is 80% covered, who's never had to pay for anything. You know, when it comes to tattooing only, okay, folks, I'm not sponsored and everything else in my life, but, no, I got a lifetime mouth guard sponsorship too, but, you know, these things, you know, aren't cheap. Like I said, I have $10,000 worth of tattoo work on me. It's taken me quite a few years to amass it, but you can't sit down and cover up anything these days for under $400.
Exactly. You know, anybody who knows tattoos, a cover-up is the hardest tattoo to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, it's more expensive than just a regular tattoo. You know, right now, you know, I have a half-done, half-sleeve. You know, I want to get the other part done. You know, that's going to cost me about another $600 to get that done. It's like, yeah, do I get the tattoo done or do I go buy my kid's shoes?
Well, exactly. See, once again, I'm blessed because I don't have to worry about that, you know, being that I don't pay for it, you know, but not everybody is me. Not everybody has a sponsor.
You know, any tattoo artists or tattoo shops in the LA area, you want to sponsor the show, hit me up. I need some tats.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about, Ray. Let's get you a tattoo sponsor. Oh, hey, let's get Ryan on.
Let's do that. All right, cool.
I'm just going to call him live on air. Let's just do it that way. Yeah, let's work on getting you one. I wonder if my boy Adam's, where he is, he's got a shop down there in California, Adam Normad.
Hello?
Ryan, how you doing tonight?
How's it going?
Hey, Ryan, you're live on the air with the world. Go ahead and tell our listeners who you are.
I'm Ryan Lilly, fighting at Boss Rooms Elite MMA, and soon to be fighting at Epic Fighting 26 in San Diego, and hope to see you guys there.
Man, you just dropped one of the biggest names in MMA. You're training with Boss Rudin. Dude, how was that?
Yeah. To be honest, he's a legend in the sport himself, but if you really meet him in person, he is truly the nicest guy you could ever meet. He treats everyone as if we're all equal, which in real life we are. And he's the nicest guy. He treats his fighters good, people around him. I mean, he's just a blessing to have in my corner and being able to train with him.
Nice, nice. My question for you is, you know, we saw Boss Rudin doing some training, and here comes the boom. Is his training anything like that?
Here comes the boom. I mean, they throw a lot of power shots, which is what we base our training on, and it's just a lot of technique and doing our training to precise. I feel comfortable training under him. I'm sure anyone would. I just can't say more words about him.
Nice, nice. So how long have you been fighting?
I've been fighting for competitively 2 years, and I started my mixed martial arts at his gym. And they've taken me, my dad passed away in 2012 from a brain tumor. And literally, they've taken me under their shirt, and they've taken me all the way. They're always here for me. We go to dinner together. We talk together. Matter of fact, I was just working at Boss Rudin's house last week, and him and his wife, his whole family, is just,
you know,
really
that's
nice.
That's important in this sport. You know, they say it's an individual sport, but it really isn't. You know, it's a team sport. It's your team getting you ready. It's your team having your back, and you being part of that team and having the other fighters back and helping them to get ready. It's a very close bond.
Correct. Yep, yep. I mean, to be honest, I fought, this will be my 10th fight as an amateur, and out of those 9 fights, I've gotten really close friends with all my opponents, besides one guy. But, you know, that's just how it goes in this sport. But it's all about, you know, being respectful, and at the end of the day, it's about having fun and going in there and competing and making the fans, given what the fans are paying for, you know, being exciting, going for the win, going for the knockout, whatever you got to do to win. And, you know.
You know, like you said, you know, you become friends with your opponent. And, you know, that happens a lot in this sport. You know, we had somebody on, I believe it was John Robles we were talking about earlier. You know, he said, you know, it's very intimate when you're fighting against somebody. And you know, he says, in an intimate in a non-sexual way, because you get to know everything about them and their character at the same time learning about yourself. And so at the end of that fight, you know more about this dude than you would have ever thought you would know about somebody. And,
absolutely.
And you know, and that transfers over too, and him helping you learn about yourself. And you know, I've seen a lot of times where, you know, after the fight, hey, you know what, let's train together. And then, you know, you start training with them and you become good friends with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, so. Ryan, for the fans out there tonight listening, especially somebody like myself who's just getting to know you for the first time, let's talk a little bit about your background, man. What got you into combat sports? Were you athletic in, you know, your younger school days?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I grew up north in Auburn, California, Grass Valley. You know, I grew up with a single mom, two kids, brother and sister, and I was the younger of the two. And, you know, I grew up really active. I started getting in trouble and started going the wrong way. And my mom's boyfriend at the time was like, all right, you know, this guy would throw tantrums. And, you know, I'm 12 years old at the time. And, you know, they're like, let's get this guy into wrestling. And they got me into wrestling. And I fell in love with the training, the people around me at the time. I mean, I'm just growing up as a kid. And, you know, my very first match, my grandma always wanted to come to my trainings and watch me train and practice and stuff like that. But we're like, no, just wait for his first match, you know. In my very first match, I won a gold medal. And from there on out, I just loved wrestling. And that's where it pretty much started. I did freestyle wrestling growing up for about 2.5 years. And then I stopped it, you know, did all the schooling. When I became a freshman in high school, I tried out for the basketball team because I grew up a big basketball fan, you know.
Oh, man,
Lakers,
basketball
all that good
game,
stuff.
Wrestling season.
Yep. So I grew up basketball, you know, and then so I tried out for the basketball team, didn't make that, and literally went from not making the basketball team straight into wrestling tryouts. And turned out to be on varsity as a freshman in high school. And that right there, I mean, I was training with the varsity team, I was training with big guys, small guys, and I was pretty much in a fight every day in wrestling training. I'd go home, be like, damn, what the hell? And I got, you know, this and that. But when I came competing, I was winning all my matches. So in the hard way, hard run, it turned out, you know. And that's pretty much how I got started. And then, long story short, I was hanging out at a bar watching UFC fights. Saw one of my good time buddies. And turned out he was the manager at Boss Rooms Elite MMA, Jeff Howard, good friend of mine. I used to play basketball with him as well. And he's like, dude, I'm a manager over here. Come check it out. And I went and checked it out the next day. He was surprised to see me because everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll come check out the gym, but never show up. I showed up. I loved the class. I signed up for a year straight, so I was paying a year. And I went to my very first class. I was like, you know, got a lot of work to do. And I started training for a whole year before I even had my first mixed martial arts fight. And that's pretty much where it all started. For me, it's not train if you have a fight. I'm not in fight camp. I'm always training no matter what, 24/7. Even after a fight, the most I'll take off is a week, unless you get injured and stuff like that. But thank God nothing's happened like that. But, you know, I'm always in the gym training.
You got a great head on your shoulders, especially when it comes to your career. I mean, we see today with the market honestly flooding with amateurs and pros. Everybody wants to be a fighter, but you took a different approach and said, I want to train for a year before I, you know, decide to do this fighting. So was that an easy decision? Was it, you know, inside you where you're like, hey, I just know I need to train? Or was it kind of like, man, I could fight, but I should train?
No, it was actually I wanted to fight. And me, I mean, if you look at my record, I'm always fighting since I started and my background and stuff like that. But my trainers are like, yeah, you need, you know, work on this, work on that, just wait in this. But the whole time when I was training, you know, and finally when I got on the fight team at Elite MMA, I was like, all right, come on, you know, let's get me a fight. And they're like, all right, you know, a little bit longer. My coach, Randy, a little bit longer. And even took, you know, one of my teammates was like, hey, man, this, you know, let's get this guy a fight. And, you know, so my coach got me a fight, and I ended up winning that my first fight in 50 seconds in a rear naked choke. And, you know, and ever since then, it pretty much blossomed.
Not that amateur records mean anything when you go pro, but what's your amateur record sit at today?
I'm 4-5 as an amateur record, and out of the 5 losses, I have 1 finish, so I got submitted 1 time by a very experienced opponent. He had 9 fights in camo, and he also had 9 fights in underground fighting, and he also fought in Vegas and San Diego and stuff like that. But all my other finishes, I finished my 4 wins are by finishes. I got 2 knockouts and 2 submissions. And my 4 losses are by unanimous decision, which I know I won some of those.
Well, it's not, like I said, man, your amateur record, you've never heard a UFC champion hold up his belt when he wins a title fight and said, this is due to my amateur record, you know.
Absolutely.
So now's the time to lose because you learn from a loss. And with that being said, what fight do you think you learned the most about yourself as a fighter when you lost?
To be honest, I fought Jacob Rosales. He's currently the number 2 ranked in the state right now in camo. He's 6-0. Well, he just won a fight last night, so he's 7-0. I don't know what he won by. And I went 3 rounds with him. I thought I won the fight. I walked away with not a scratch on me. And with all the losses I have lost, I've walked away with not a scratch on me. It's just been wars. And, you know, stuff like that. But to be honest, like you said, I learned from every fight that I do lose. I don't feel like I lose, besides that one submission loss I did lose from. The fights I do win, I go to finish and make sure just not to leave it to the judges because you never know what they're going to think.
I'm going to jump in with one last question. You know, featherweight is where you're fighting, correct?
Correct.
Okay. In your gym, obviously you're around a phenomenal group of coaches and trainers and fighters. What's the mentality about an amateur in the weight cut? Because I don't know, is featherweight ultimately where you're going to be as a pro, or are you going to go down lower? Or how does that weight cutting and weight class work as an amateur in the gym you're at?
I know some amateur fighters at my gym that, you know, make a big weight cut. I personally don't like to do that. I walk around at 155, and that's, you know, drinking beer, relaxing, still training, but, you know, relaxing, not in the fight, getting ready for cut. When I do cut weight, it's just at 10 pounds. It's really nothing for me. It's just eating healthy, staying on my diet, staying on focused training, and it comes off real quick. Like you said, because – go ahead.
Oh, no, finish your statement. I'm sorry.
Because as an amateur, I mean, we weigh in the same day as a fight. So I don't want to, you know, drain myself too much and stuff like that. I'm only 5'6" tall, stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not going to kill myself to go in for a camo. But when I turn pro, I'll be doing 135, and that's because I could weigh in the day before.
Okay. Two things. One, I love your mentality about the weight cut, and two, I'd love to see what you do at 135. Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, speaking about the weight cut, I asked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fighting guys who make a 20-pound weight cut. Like I said, Jacob Rosales, he walks around 170, 175. You know, he's about 5'10", stuff, you know. But I'm not too worried about, like you said, the amateur and stuff like that. I'm here to put my experience in and get what I can to learn so I can go pro.
Okay, so when you're in training camp, you know, naturally, you know, you got a 10-pound weight cut, which, you know, isn't much for other fighters. Like I said, you like to be comfortable. But, you know, when you're in training camp, you got to cut certain things out. What's the one thing that you cut out that you miss the most?
To be honest, I love bread. So me not having bread, I mean, it pretty much goes with everything. Lunch, breakfast, dinner, you name it, a snack. Bread is pretty much the number one thing that I can name right now.
Yeah, bread is the one thing that you can eat with every meal.
Yeah. Now, when I turn pro, I'm sure that's not going to be the case. I mean, because fighting camo, I'm still eating steak, mashed potatoes. I'm eating good right now. So.
Now, you know, one thing, you know, you're a young athlete. You're coming up in the ranks. You got to have, you know, your exposure to these groupies out there. You know, are you single? Do you have a lady?
Yeah, I'm single right now. I mean, when I first started mixed martial arts at Elite, you know, I had a good girlfriend, but, you know, she decided to drink a lot, which was making me not focus as much. And thank God for my trainer, Randy Katami. I mean, he would be on me all the time. Hey, you know, are you okay? And stuff like that. You know, did you get rid of her yet? You know, and finally I got rid of her because I was taking her to my buddy's fight. This is before I started fighting. And she'd just get drunk and stuff like that. Very beautiful, beautiful lady, you know, stuff like that. Had a great time with her, but, you know, she had a death in her family and just couldn't control her alcohol. And I couldn't let that bring me down as a person.
You know, definitely, that's something you have to be real careful with because a lot of women can't handle this business. You know, recently we had a fight out of town, and I had one of my fighters, and his girlfriend thought this was a romantic getaway. No, we're there to work. It's not about you going shopping. It's not about you, period. It's about him.
Right.
Yep.
And that's one thing that she couldn't get through her head.
A lot of them can't, to be honest. I mean, no respect to girls or anything, but, I mean, in this business, I mean, it's a lot of focus, dedication, you know, time at the gym. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. So, you know. That's what my focus is on. I work full-time. I'm an alarm technician. Install alarms, cameras, surveillance. I do that full-time, 8 hours a day, and I literally go straight to the gym after.
Now, you said you're single. So have you been able to enjoy the fact that there's a lot of groupies in this business?
I'm not saying I'm jumping on any groupies or anything like that. You know, I got some good friends that we hang out with.
now look at that. Let me tell you my story about Epic Fighting. We fought for Epic last year at the fair.
Right.
And, that was the first time that my fighter was able to experience a threesome with the groupies that were at the Epic fight.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. I could say the same thing. I've had that on my 21st birthday in Vegas. You know, I know San Diego is a great place to enjoy yourself, go vacation, and let alone what better than to go there for a fight, you know? So
definitely. I mean, San Diego, that's the spot.
Definitely.
A lot of partying going on, so, yeah, definitely get your party on after the fight. So who's your opponent? You know, talk a little about the fight coming up.
Yeah, my opponent's Bruce Smith. He's 3-0, fighting out of Victory MMA, I believe. You know, he's a good opponent, aggressive, it looks like. Looks like he has a good wrestling background. From his camo record, doesn't look like he's fought any time recent. But as a person, I respect him, and as a fighter, I respect him. But to be honest, I'm not worried about anything he's doing right now. I know I train a lot of hours in the gym, and that's all I have to focus on. You know, no disrespect against him. I'm sure he's going to bring his A game, which I hope he's training hard. I just fought 2 weeks ago. I finished a guy in the first round, rear naked choke, at the University of Mixed Martial Arts downtown in Los Angeles at Club Nokia.
MMA,
you know.
J-Tan, good friend.
Yeah, J-Tan, Turi as well.
Turi's
they're great people
guy.
Over there. Yeah, Turi's, they're all family to me as well. And, you know, so I've had most of my fights over there. And then, again, I've fought the toughest of the toughest over there. So, you know, can't respect them more than enough. But, yeah, like I said, you know, Bruce Smith, you know, he's, I know he has a family from what I heard, and so he's doing that business, but I just hope he brings his A game, and I respect him, and let's put on a show.
Now, tickets, where can we go get tickets?
People can get tickets at epicfighting26.com in San Diego. Promo code is Lily, all capitals, and also shout out to Heather Hyatt for making this happen for me.
Well, Heather is definitely one of the best matchmakers in the business, and definitely one of the better-looking matchmakers in this business.
Hey, I couldn't help but to agree with that. I mean, she's extremely nice. She's there for all fighters, and she's also there to put on a great show. I mean, she's ranked one of the top 10 in KMO, you know, rankings and stuff like that, as in promoting. She has a great name out there, and, you know, she's a poser. Pleasure to work with.
You know, Heather is very well respected in this male-dominated sport. And you
right.
know, when Heather talks, people listen. It's not like, oh, you know, she's just another pretty face. No, she knows her stuff, and everybody knows she knows her stuff.
Right. When I first met her, I was like, dude, are you serious? Like, she matchmaking? You know, I was there. My buddy, Jens Grau, he fought in Epic Fighting down there in San Diego. And, you know, congrats to him. He just had his first debut in pro fighting out of Legacy. He also won first round by knee bar, ankle lock. I'm sorry, ankle lock. Broke the guy's knee.
Ooh.
But yeah, shout out to him. He's 43 years old and stronger than ever. I mean, this guy comes out, you know, being an exciting fighter.
43 years old. Oh man, I feel like
43 years old.
Now I feel like a sissy sitting at home on my couch. You know what? You know, I'll be 40 in a couple of weeks, and thinking I'm too old for this, especially when
never.
I'm only in practice and I'm only with my fighters, I'm thinking in my head, man, I am too old for this. And this dude's doing it at 43. That's amazing.
Yeah, making his pro debut, I mean, he, you know, he's a knockout artist, also fighting at the Boston's Elite MMA. And, you know, he's always there with me for my fights in my corner, and I can't say enough about him as well, you know. But, you know, back to the story, Epic Fighting. You know, I'm really excited to be fighting out there. It's my first time in San Diego putting on a show. And if you look at my present fights, that's what I do exactly, is put on a show for the fans.
Definitely worth the price of admission. And, you know, I'm going to tell you what. I mean, this is my first time, you know, dealing with you. You've made a fan out of me already. I'm going to be following your career. We definitely want to get you on the show again. You know, throughout your amateur career, and also when you go pro, you know, we'd like you to break the news when you decide to go pro on our show.
Definitely. I mean, that's going to be if everything goes good. You know, my good coach Randy Katami wanted me to go pro already. I told him I want to finish this year out strong, and you know, get a belt under me, and you know, defend it one or two times, whatever I got to do. But 2015, look at me for going pro.
So what do you have your eyes on right now as an amateur? Are you going to strictly straight fighting camo, or are you going to branch off into other states? Like Nevada, they have a pretty good amateur program out there too.
Yeah. Which one is that again? That's Tough Enough?
So Tough Enough, we got Tough Enough, you got King of the Cage.
You know, King of the Cage, yeah.
You know, these are all definitely great amateur organizations. You know, we did Kim and Cage Amateur for the first time, you know, we've done their pro shows. We did their amateur show on Labor Day weekend, and I'll tell you what, there is no difference in the way that they conduct the amateur show to their pro show. It's exactly the same. So it
gives, the same way.
So, yeah, you know? So it gives the amateurs a taste of how it is to be a pro.
Right, absolutely. And that's what the U of MMA is about, too. I mean, that's why I love fighting there. They treat their fighters as they are pro. I mean, you're not only fighting in downtown L.A., it's at Club Nokia. It's a big stadium, big fan organization. I mean, it's fun to fight there.
What a lot of people don't know is that Jay and Turi have been with this sport since it was born.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Turi's been he's been the main guy. You know, his good buddy, Jay Tan, is always there with him. And, you know, they're good guys to fight for. And but, you know, they don't have a show coming up right this second. And that's why, you know, I took Heather's fight. You know, she's been trying to get me on Epic Fighting for a while. And she also did the matchmaking for Boss Rutten's show, The Art of MMA. That was back in January 26th of 2014. And I also fight on that card. But she picks her fighters great. I mean, they're, you know, they're not one-sided, this and that. They're there to put on a show. So that's what I also like about Heather.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she knows her stuff when she matches fighters up. You know, right now we're winding down to an end of the interview here. You know, I want to thank you for coming on. But right now is your time. Go ahead and shout out. Hope you want to shout out sponsors, friends, family, your neighbor's dog, whatever. Go for it, bro. This is your time.
Thank you, brother. I'd like to shout out to AmericanWarrior.com, Boss Rutten's Elite MMA, Paper Depot, Randy Katami, Rodrigo Cavallo, Jens Grau, Heather Hyatt, Epic Fighting 26 in San Diego. Come watch me. Bruce Smith, shout out to you. Hope you bring your A game. And that's about it.
Nice. Definitely a pleasure to have you on. I can't wait to have you on again. Like I said, today you made a fan out of me, and I haven't even seen you fight yet. I mean, just the way you conduct yourself, you know, you're going to do big things in this sport. And
absolutely.
You have the right mindset to be successful in this sport.
To be honest, it's about having fun. I mean, you know, I grew up in a tough childhood. Both my parents, my dad died of cancer, had a, you know, brain tumor out of nowhere at age 53. My mom's 50 years old, fighting breast cancer right now. Really, I'm just here fighting for my last name and for my city and to have fun, you know. So, and to put on a show, that's the most important part.
Definitely, bro. I got to get out there to San Diego to watch you fight. You know,
we're definitely
going to watch out for you. You know, like I said, we want to get you on the show again. And whenever you got time, you got something big coming up, let us know. We'll get you on.
Absolutely, and, man. After the belt, man, we'll be talking soon.
Definitely. You know, I'd say good luck for your upcoming fight, but I don't think you need luck. You know, good fortune there.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I hope, you know, Bruce Smith comes out. We put on a great show. I hope no injuries to either opponent, and may the best man win.
Well, I want to thank you, man, for joining the show tonight. Go enjoy the rest of your evening, brother.
Thanks, man. Wade Lopez, shout out to you as well.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right, man. Good talking.
Good kid, man. Great head on his shoulders, man.
Oh, man, I mean, it's guys like this is why I'm in this sport. You know, just hearing the way he talks about it, it's refreshing. It reminds me of why I'm in it. You know, forget all the politics. It's dudes like this is why this sport is the fastest growing sport in the world.
I agree. Well, let's get to the next guest. We're going to call him live right now. How's that?
Oh, let's do it.
And I'm going to let you just run with it. I'll jump in, of course, because I have questions.
All right, cool.
What'd I do wrong? Oh, I got to hit dial.
That'll help.
Yeah, I'm all. It's not dialing.
Hello?
Hello, may I speak to Joe?
No, there's no Joe here. You have the wrong number.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
what?
Wow, that's the first time that has ever happened.
Did you get big timed?
No, no, no. Let me
double check that.
Yeah.
Let me double check and make sure I typed in the right number. Yeah. Let's call her back anyway and interview her. She sounded feisty. She's like, why is somebody calling me from New York?
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm sending you the number again.
Okay.
I mean, that was the same number I sent you.
Hold on, I'm double-checking it right now. Let's see. We should just say it out loud because it's not if it's the wrong one. No. No. Let's see. Yeah, that's the number you gave me. Did you write it down wrong?
No, that's the right number. That's the number he gave me. Let me send him a message here on Facebook.
Watch, he gave us somebody's number that he don't like. He's like, I want you to call them or harass them. I should call her back and just double check. He'd be like, are you sure that there's not a UFC fighter in your house right now?
Do it. All right, well, I just sent him a message. And
you can give him the show number, 310-742-1799, just tell him to call in.
Well, he's actually not logged on Facebook right now, so let's see if he gets this message.
Okay.
Wow, that's a huge bummer. I was looking forward to interviewing him.
I was too, because the guy's a beast, man. I mean,
you know, I'm not gonna lie. I've been a big fan of his up until the point where we had to fight him, and I'm a huge fan.
I thought what he did that night in the UFC cage was just insanely impressive.
It was. I mean, you know, he's ranked in the top 12 now in the UFC after his first fight with them. But you see, what a lot of people don't understand is he's been in the big show before.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Well, let's see if he gets back to me. If not, I guess we'll go on with the show.
All right.
I'm wondering, you know, should we take callers or should we just call?
Dude,
or should we
phone
just
lines
call
are
somebody?
Open.
Or,
phone
or
lines
just,
are open.
I was going to say, or should we just call somebody off guard right now? Like, you know, like maybe if we call Tony Padilla on the show, just surprise him while he's having dinner. Probably sitting there in his underwear watching the game.
Well, let's give it a couple minutes and see what happens with Joe, and then we'll go from there. What else is going down in California this weekend, man? I thought there were some events.
There were quite a few events. But you know what? Earlier this morning, well, not this morning, this afternoon, I had one of my cousins over who's a big boxing fan. And, you know, the show is called Sunday Night Fights Live. You know, it's not restricted to just MMA.
Amen.
You know, let's talk about the Floyd Mayweather. Not necessarily about the fight, but about Floyd Mayweather. You know, and what's going on right now in sports with Ray Rice. You know, Floyd Mayweather was convicted of domestic violence. My personal belief is he shouldn't be licensed anywhere in the world to fight. After you strike another person, especially a woman, being a fighter, you should not be licensed. That's my own opinion. But, I mean, what does everybody out there think about that?
Lines are open, 310-742-1799. Press 1 to talk to us. I'll tell you what. The Ray Rice, the Adrian Petersons, the list of 30 UFC fighters, the list of Mayweather, all these guys. If you're convicted, for sure, you should never be licensed. And, I mean, in some instances, a conviction shouldn't matter, you know.
Like Ray Rice,
I think,
you see it happen.
Yeah.
You know? But then let's talk about Adrian Peterson. He disciplined his child. Old school. I mean, dude, I've got my ass whooped by my dad more than a few times. But it's made me the man I am today. So are you really, I mean, what kind of message are you sending going after a parent who disciplined their child?
Well, I saw the pictures, man. He split that kid open about 15 times.
Oh, really? I haven't seen pictures.
Oh, my God. The pictures are horrible. Like, there's, like slits all up and down his leg, right on the outside of the thigh and on the inside towards the crotch, and where he struck him on the testicles, and that's where all this started, because when the kid told his mom, you know, Ray texted him and said, yeah, I was disciplining him, and I hit him there. But, I mean, I'm the first one to say there's nothing wrong with spanking a child. Nothing. But if you split a kid's skin open multiple times, you're overdoing it.
Oh, you see, I haven't seen pictures. So, you know, I spoke prematurely on that then. Yeah, when you're leaving marks on your child, yeah, that's not something good.
Oh, I do, but spank your children, folks. Don't get me wrong, man. We need to depussify America. People are afraid to spank their children because CPS, the school, the church pastor, your neighbor, the mechanic, somebody's going to judge you or call somebody on you. Look, I was raised where my dad had a belt and he knew how to use it. And so were my brothers and sisters. And you know what? I chose, out of personal choice, to live the lifestyle I did. They got the same punishment I did growing up. They chose to live their lifestyles. You know, sometimes it comes down to a person's personal choice and the way they want to live. But when it comes down to parenting, there is nothing wrong with spanking a child if they deserve it. I'm not saying beat your kids, folks. And I'm not saying every single time they change the channel when you're watching TV to spank them. But when a kid deserves discipline, you discipline them.
You know, I remember one time I came home where I did something wrong. I don't remember what it was, but my dad was waiting for me when I got home in the middle of the day. So I knew it was something bad. I walk in the door. He gives me a piece of paper. It's got an 800 number on it. I go, what's this? He says, that's the number for the child abuse hotline. You're going to need it in a minute. And he proceeded to whoop my butt, probably the worst butt whooping I got. But you know what? It turned me into the man I am today. I mean, you know, my dad is definitely not a child abuser. You know, he was very strict with us, but, I mean, as a parent now, I'm thankful he was.
I agree. I mean, it's just so odd that we were spanked as kids growing up and there was nothing bad about it. But nowadays, oh, what do you mean you spanked your child? And I don't know. That's just me, I guess. Maybe I'm old school. Maybe I think, you know, getting spanked wasn't a bad thing.
I haven't spanked my children since they were very young. I just have to put bass in my voice and they get scared. You know, I put that fear in them early on. And a couple weeks ago, you know, I had spoken to them sternly, and they went and they told their mom, and she's like, well, you know, why were you upset with them? And I said, first of all, I don't need to explain to you why I'm upset with them. I said, but this is why. And she's like, okay, you know, no problem. So when I saw them again, and I'm like, okay, why are you going and ratting to your mom that I did this and I did that to you? I'm your father. If I wanted to spank the shit out of you, excuse me for the language again, but I'm going to do it. Nobody's going to tell me not to. The end of the day, when you grow up, it looks on me on how you grew up. And I'm not going to have a child who's an idiot.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you. 100% agree with you. I know there's people out there listening tonight and down the road on the replays, and they're not going to agree. They're going to think we're mean, or maybe the moms of UFC will say that we're the reason, you know, kids grow up to fight, whatever. But I agree. There's nothing wrong with spanking your child, and you shouldn't have to explain yourself to society of why you punished your own child.
Exactly. And, you know, you just touched on something right there, too. Let's go off on a separate tangent here. You're talking about, you know, mom saying, oh, this is, you know, the way we're talking about disciplining our child, teaching him how to fight. Okay, let me explain my son. You know, I teach him on my own. You know, I teach him his jiu-jitsu and his boxing and his wrestling. So, you know, a while back he was getting bullied at school. And I'm like, you know, what's going on? You know, I taught you how to defend yourself and how to fight. And he comes back to me and he says, Dad, but you told me never to use it on anybody. You know, so that's where you have to show the child, yeah, this isn't something that you're going to be able to do, and just go choke people out.
Yeah, but if I 100% agree. Look, I'm not teaching my sons to wrestle or to BJJ or to do karate or boxing to go bully and beat people up. I'm
exactly.
teaching them as a tool to use in self-defense in life. Look, my son, if he's getting bullied, I want him to do the first right thing. Hey, knock it off. Go pick on somebody else. Leave me alone. You know, okay, that doesn't work. You come talk to your dad, your teacher, the police department, you know. You go talk to an authoritative adult. If that don't work, son, I want you to belt him in the mouth and if he puts his hands on you again.
Well, and that's one thing I explained to my son. When you're in that situation, you use what I taught you. You don't use it to go pick on people. You use it to defend yourself.
Yeah.
And you get him in a rear naked choke, you're not beating the crap out of him, where you're going to bust his lip open or his eye. You're going to teach him, you know what, it's time to leave me alone and walk away and you'll be okay.
I agree. You know, we talk about it all the time that we want kids to learn discipline and respect and teamwork and camaraderie and work ethic and understanding that what you put in, you get back out. Then we put them in a BJJ class or a karate class, and, you know, there's certain people out there like, oh, you're just raising a human cockfighter, a monster, a bully. Hey, we're trying to help better our child by giving them the understanding and knowledge that comes with these different martial arts and these different grappling sports that they build as a team, as a family, hard work, dedication, honor, you know, respect, discipline, loyalty. These things are great attributes. And yeah, you're going to have some kids who fall through the cracks who do become bullies or become, you know, guys that use it for the wrong reason. That's life. Okay?
Well,
it's going to happen.
You know, I think I said it before. I have some family members that say MMA is barbaric. And it's like, okay, wait, when you had your son in karate, was that barbaric? Well, no, that's martial arts. Well, so is this. It's mixed martial arts. You know, I have a karate and a wrestling background. That's what introduced me to the sport, is my mixed martial arts background in wrestling and karate. And, you know, without that base of a pure martial art, I wouldn't be in this sport. And 100% of the people excelling in this sport wouldn't be in this sport if they didn't have a karate or a judo or taekwondo or boxing or wrestling background, sambo, whatever the case is. So to sit here and call it barbaric when these are arts that are being put on display. You know,
I agree,
it's not,
man.
It's not human cockfighting. And, you know, that's the one thing that really pisses me off. People are so narrow-minded about it. And then they'll turn around and be like, oh, well, I prefer boxing. Wait, you're saying this is barbaric, but you prefer boxing where somebody who can be a brawler can excel at that sport. You know, I'm not knocking boxing because if there's no boxing, there would be no MMA. But I'm saying that you can be a brawler in boxing and be successful. You can't be a brawler in MMA and be successful. You know, there's going to come a point where, yeah, you might knock some people out, but you're going to come against a guy who is a black belt in taekwondo or, you know, a guy who's been doing karate since he was six or, you know, an all-American wrestler. And then what are you going to do then?
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
You know, you have to be good at multiple disciplines in this sport, and because of that, it is not a barbaric sport.
Ray, looks like we're not going to get our guests, but we'll try to do it next weekend. Matt Betzel, get rid of that snake, son. You
well,
don't
Matt
need to have
snake.
Dude, yeah, he just posted a picture just now. His new friend looks like he found like. I can't tell, man. It looks like a rattler, though, but I bet
you know
it's just like a baby boa.
You know what? Let's get him on the phone.
Okay.
Does
you got his number in front of you?
Oh, no, I don't. Let me get it.
Hold on. I got it.
Okay.
I should. If I don't, I'm a schmuck. Here we go. Let's see. Yep, I got it. I'm going to call him right now. Be like, dude, what kind of snake is that? What's wrong with you, son? He's so into submissions, he has to buy a snake because he's the only person who will hang out with him.
Huh. Trying to learn an anaconda.
Yeah. Hey, I got this one. Watch this.
Hello?
Matt, what kind of snake is that, son?
Who is this?
Oh,
hello?
Hey, what kind of snake is that? Is that a rattler?
Oh, that's a rattler snake. Rattler.
Dude, what are you doing playing with a rattlesnake? Oh, by the way, you're live on air. You're live on Sunday Night 5.
It's Skippy and Ray, bro. We're prank calling you, dog. You're live.
Oh, who is this?
It's Skippy and Ray.
Oh, what's up, guys? Who the hell's calling me from New York? I don't know very few people in New York. What's up? I'm on air right now?
You're on the air, brother.
We just saw that picture, and I was like, it looks like a rattler. And what are you doing hanging out with a rattlesnake?
It was on a trail, dude. We put it in a jar. We're going to let it go back to where we caught it, but, yeah, it's our friend right now. I'm from Arizona, man. That's nothing.
I just figured,
what are you going to do with it?
I live dangerous.
Man, you going to nurse some submissions from it or something, bro?
I'm trying to lose my other leg, guys. Leave me alone.
He's like, I'm going to tap this guy. I'm going to show him what a rear naked choke's like. I got sub power. Well, hey, man, we just wanted to call you real quick. We saw that picture. We were getting ready to wrap up the show, and I was like, you see this?
It's just a baby. It's cute. It's so adorable. No, it's
good. Well, Matt, be careful with it. Enjoy your night, brother.
I will. You too, guys. Stay up.
That's classic. They're just hiking and find a rattlesnake and he picks it up.
Man, you know he's a bad dude in the cage if he's over there catching rattlesnakes.
Yeah, straight up. And he's like, oh, it's little. Yeah, it's still a rattlesnake. It ain't that little.
You know, we need to change his nickname from the leg breaker to the snake wrangler.
Well, Ray, I know that we're going to wrap up. We didn't get our guests. We're going to try for another show, but I know you want to get out some ticket information for Bama, for Tarion. Anything else you want to get out, run at it, brother.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we got some big things coming up. We got Tarion Ware on October 10th. He's defending his Bama title in the Commerce Casino in the heart of L.A. So, you know, definitely come on out. You know, if you need tickets, hit me or Tarion up. Or you could go to www.bamausa.com and use promo code, I believe it's Ware or it's Tarion. I'm not too sure. It's one of those. I mean, you'll find it on the list. So use that promo code to get your tickets so, you know, we get credit for it. You know, if you haven't been to a Bama show, Brett Roberts puts on a great show. It is the best local promotion here in L.A. So you definitely don't want to miss this. It's a stacked card. You know, the list of names on this card, you got David Duran, the Farmer of Destruction. Just a name alone there, the Farmer of Destruction, is a dude you want to see. This dude is an electrifying fighter. He beat one of my guys, busted his head right open. You could see his skull. That's how bad it was. So this dude is bad.
Ouch.
You know. Yeah, that was pretty bad. I mean, he split his head open with his shin, and the cut went all the way down where you could see his skull. And, you know, so we're sitting in the emergency room with my fighter, you know, Rick Rojo, and I'm like, you know, I feel a lot closer to you because yesterday I saw you naked when you weighed in, and then today I see your skull, bro. It doesn't get any closer than that.
That's true.
Yeah. And Bama's always got a staff card. You know, if you've been to a Bama show, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been, you need to get there. Also, too, I think on the website there's a link for their internet pay-per-view show to watch it. Definitely want to spend the money to watch it if you can't make it out. But try to make it out. It's a great show. Lots of celebrities in the audience. Of course, you know, they're in L.A., you know, Hollywood. Also, too, the next day, October 11th, at the Hollywood Park Casino in beautiful Inglewood, California. We got Spar Star MMA. They're kicking off their women's MMA tournament. They're putting up their very first women's title, you know, in November. So the winner of these fights will advance to the finals and get a shot at the first ever Spar Star women's title. Spar Star fights, they're amateur fights, but these could easily be pro fights anywhere. Great matchmaking over there by Mal Robles. Dude is one of the better matchmakers that I've ever dealt with. Tony Padilla always puts on a great show. You know, it's a party, and, you know, it's not a rated R party. You know, it's very family friendly. You always see kids running around the show, but it's a party nonetheless. You know, so you want to go hear some good music, have some good drinks, and watch some awesome fights. You know, definitely stop by the takedown booth. You know, just say hi. You know, take a picture. You know, buy a couple shirts, three or four shirts. You know, whatever. You know, mention the show. I'll definitely give you a discount at my booth. So, you know, just say you heard it here on the show, and, you know, I'll hook you up with a sick discount. And, you know, I'm not talking no dollar off. You know, I'll hook you up with a sick discount. You definitely want to come out to Spar Star. You need tickets, hit me up. Hit up Tony Padilla, but hit me up so I get credit for the sale. I'll also hook you up with a sick discount on tickets. You know, so low I can't stay on the air because Tony would kill me knowing that I'm selling tickets for this cheap. So definitely hit me up if, you know, make it out to Spar Star. Great show, always great shows. You never know who's going to be there in the audience. Last time they had that, the father and son from Storage Wars. They had Dub C there, Rich Franklin. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, just people come by, you know, just to watch the fight. You know, lots of famous people, famous fighters. You never know who you're going to see there. Take pictures. Mike Beltran is always there, you know, one of the top referees in MMA, you know, Yosemite Sam himself, you know, he's always a fan favorite, and very cool to meet, you know, he'll take pictures with anybody, so, you know, come on out, bring your cameras, you know, definitely bring your wallet, because they got the best drinks in town there, you definitely want to have some good drinks, and watch some great fights, so Spar Star MMA, you know, hit me up on Facebook for tickets, or go directly to sparstarmma.com, or hit up Tony Padilla, but, two great nights of fights in October, the 10th and the 11th. You definitely don't want to miss either of these shows. You know, I can't tell you which one would be the better show because it's a toss-up. So just get on out there. It's money well spent.
Well, with that, I want to thank our guest tonight, you know, Ryan. Great interview. Sorry we missed Joe, folks. We're going to get him back for all you guys and gals. Ray, it was always it's always a pleasure hanging out with you on Sunday nights doing the show, and I want to thank Takedown Grappler, Jax Media, MMAMadhouse.com for giving us this platform every week, and Eagle! Who gives it up and who be rocking all that rough stuff? All in the cut is young dads with the pimp strut.